Hello, everyone. Let me get situated over here. Can you guys believe it's already May? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Some of you, this might be your lot. This is your last quarter. So, sad, but you guys are going on to bigger and better things in the real world. So, here for that. Yeah, I think we're got a couple more weeks left in our series tonight. We're going to be continuing in our series, as Alex said, on relate. Relating to others well is a biblical principle that we should really strive to live towards. Over the last couple of weeks, we walked through just living at peace with others, and we also learned the importance of having healthy relationships. Tonight, we're going to walk through one of the most practical ways we can display specifically our love for other people. Our passage tonight is found in 1 Peter. To give a little bit of a context for you, this was a letter written by the Apostle Peter to Christians. These Christians were in the midst of suffering and persecution. He wanted them to be steadfast in their relationship with God despite the opposition that was happening around them. We'll be focusing on 1 Peter chapter 4, just three verses 9 through 11. And up to this point, Peter tells them that the end of all things is near. So the exactness of the end times is unknown, but we can see that the authors in the Bible, they thought it was important, to include in their writings. And one thing is certain, whether it's Christ's return or the last breath that we breathe on this earth, like we should be prepared. Peter said that the way that they invested their life, like they needed to be really strategic with their time and their energy, like all of that really mattered. So, and in the midst of the suffering, Peter says that they must be self-controlled, they got to be alert, they got to hope in the eternity. And on top of this, believers were called to love God and love other people. In a practical way, we can love others is by serving them. So there's so many things that he's telling them to do. And on top of this, he says we got to serve others. So in the midst of our own sufferings, whatever they may be, the last thing that we want to do is serve other people. So the question we have to wrestle with is, how are we supposed to focus on serving others while we ourselves are dealing with our own difficulties? How do we reconcile that? I want to talk about this, and my hope tonight is to really point you to scripture and on how to serve and how to do that well. So why don't you go ahead and pray with me, and then I'll read the passage. God, I thank you for everyone here. I pray that you would just really open up our hearts, help us to realize what is most important, how we can love other people and how to serve one another well. And I pray that you would just really impress on our hearts what next steps we need to take. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, it says, follow along with me. It says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks to the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory, belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So a repeated word that's used in this passage is the word serve. And the word serve means to minister to attend to. So in verse 10, we're able to see that we're called to serve one another. As it says right there, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. We're called to serve one another. And we must come to this like first understanding that God has given his people specific gifts. If you want to read more into this, you can look at Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. The purpose behind God giving these specific gifts is for the building up of the church and to equip his people for just living, for work. I'll share verse 6, Romans 12, 6. It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So with God as the provider of these spiritual gifts, we must utilize them to serve one another. By not putting our specific gifts to use, we aren't able to live out what the Apostle Peter instructs. He says, you know, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. So what does serving others look like? Well, we can look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. It says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So we should do good and share what we have with others. I like that word that's used at the end of the verse. It's that word sacrifice. Sacrificing something, it means it's hard to give up. At what point is using your gifts and using your resources actually a sacrifice? You know, there's a tempting mindset to only serve when it's convenient for you, or there's another tempting mindset to only serve when you have an abundance of a resource. No, like, we should be sacrificial. So going above and beyond, it'll be tough to do, it'll be uncomfortable, it'll be stretching. But when we serve others in ways that are stretching and that are sacrificial, like, it actually pleases God. So you got to start somewhere. And I want to suggest some practical ways that you can serve others this week. The first is to pay for someone's meal. You can pay for someone's meal if you have swipes. You can swipe someone into the dining hall. Or maybe you could host a dinner for a friend. If you have a car, and if you have a license, that's really important. If you have both of those things, you can take that initiative and give a friend a ride to wherever they need to go. But let's say, you know, maybe you don't have the cash, maybe you don't have swipes, maybe you don't have a license or a car. But something that we all have is time. So offer your time and your energy to help others out, help with ministry responsibilities, or even like church things like church operations, helping with setup and tear down for a challenge on Wednesday nights, or, you know, church on Sundays. Those are great ways to sacrifice your time and give up what is comfortable. So take some time, you know, later tonight, or quickly jot down, you know, how you can practically serve one another this week. You know, what's your next step in serving others? And if you don't know how, you can always ask someone, like, hey, you're like a roommate or a friend, like, what are some ways that I can serve you? And some of us might know what we're naturally gifted in. You know, in the passage it says, you know, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Some of us might be, you know, we know what our spiritual gifts are, but some of us might not have a clue as to what those gifts are. You know, I don't want to get into the identification of these spiritual gifts themselves, like what they are, or like, you know, really how we can tell which ones are our gifts. We can go down a whole rabbit trail like some other time about those things. But what I do want us to have is a healthy view of the gifts God has given us. And our gifts shouldn't be exclusive, and they shouldn't be valued as superpowers. And what I mean by our gifts shouldn't be exclusive is, let's say you have this gift of teaching others. That doesn't mean that you should only use this spiritual gift for opportunities to teach, you know, only you taking up these opportunities to teach others. And you're not exclusively bound to that gift. There are other ways to serve. And what I mean by valuing your gift as a superpower is that you can actually adopt an unhealthy perspective of hyper-spiritualizing a gift. This will lead you to focus on small things, which will ultimately stunt your overall growth. And it will affect how you relate to others. You'll begin focusing on perfection, and you'll get wrapped up in an identity that's really bound to this world. You know, a specific example of valuing gifts as a superpower is some people in the Corinthian church. These individuals, they are focused on specific gifts to the point that the Apostle Paul, he had to call them out on their immaturity. Listen to this, one quick verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. It says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So gifts are fading. They won't last. So it doesn't make sense to fixate your entire Christian identity into the spiritual gift. You know, the Apostle Paul, he kind of concludes that section in saying that he says faith, hope, and love are what they needed to be most concerned about. So having a healthy view of what God has gifted you will help you serve other people well. Now, I do want to touch on the second half of that verse. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. So we're called to serve one another, and we're also called to be good stewards. We're called to be good stewards. So when you begin serving one another, like, congratulations, you're being a good steward of what God has given you. But what is as equally important as carrying out the action of serving is also having a healthy attitude. Let's look at verse 9. We skipped over it, but it says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So being hospitable, that means you're generous, you give gracious treatment toward whoever you're hosting, to the guests that are coming to your house. This means you don't expect anything in return. And grumbling, that's another word for grumbling, is complaining. And being in the same room as someone who has a bad attitude, it just feels uncomfortable. Like there's something like in the air. Everyone can sense it. It's awkward. But having a joyful attitude when people, like w when you're helping people, it just really reveals your love for them, and it's honoring to God. And people will notice that joyful attitude. So this is an important attitude to have when serving, and it's often one that I tend to easily just kind of forget to embrace. So people can pick up a grumbling heart, and this will negatively affect your relationship with them. They might not desire to depend on you in the future. You wouldn't be a good steward if you complain or if you're grumbling when you're serving others. So I alluded a little bit to this, but the Corinthian church earlier, I want to read this section. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 1 through 3. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So Paul, he lists these examples, but he's using like this. He's using hyperbole right here. The reason he's over exaggerating is because like love is far more superior than any of these other gifts or any of these other things. You know, without love, he's nothing. So when we serve with a loving heart, we're being a good steward of what God has gifted to us. Now, I kind of want to shift back to the context of our passage in 1 Peter. Remember, this was the persecuted church that Peter was writing to. Many of these people were driven out of their homes, out of the towns. They suffered beatings. Many have lost their lives. The early church, they needed to band together. They needed to care for one another. You know, this could have looked like physically caring for those injuries. It could have looked like housing displaced families, feeding one another, or encouraging one another in the faith to be steadfast. Serving one another and showing hospitality toward other believers was the way for them to like show love for one another, especially during a really tough season, like the season that they were going through, persecution and suffering and trials. And I want to remind you guys that the church is still being persecuted to this day. You know, there are missionaries, there are local believers overseas in these countries where people are being killed for their faith. And these persecuted believers, they might not be in as strong, like, as they might not be in as is they might not be involved as like a strong community like that you are currently in. For example, like in the most remote villages, there could only be like maybe like two or three other believers. Some villages, they might be the only Christian there. So like how can you be involved? How can you like help? Man, like if you have like the financial resources, you can give toward whatever the needs that they have. You can be praying for them. And if you know them personally, if you know someone personally overseas, the fact that they might not have a strong community, like you can maybe send them a text, call them, encourage them, and specifically be praying for them. So not only globally, but locally, you and other fellow believers around you might be going through persecution or some sort of hardship. Whether other people are going through hardship or when you yourself are going through suffering, don't neglect the importance of serving one another. And be there for others to pray for them, encourage them, or just show hospitality. And just as the Apostle Peter did with his entire letter, he pointed fellow believers to the eternal hope that they have in Christ. So we're called to serve one another. We're called to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given us. The next thing that we're going to learn from our passage tonight is God is glorified and not me. God is glorified and not me. So the final verse in our passage is verse 11. It says, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." So you must be careful not to make it about you. Don't make it about you. Peter gives the example that if someone has the gift of speaking and teaching, they should do so out of the authority of God, out of scripture, not one's own made-up words. Sadly, there are extremes of this, and there is false teaching that's being spread around, and it leads others astray. And he continues on, if someone does any sort of service to serve others, they should do so with the recognition that God has given them the strength to do that in the first place. Now, I want to speak to the male audience here. Like the next time you guys are carrying a stack of chairs to impress the ladies, like do so with the strength that God supplies. So we must remember, who has all the glory? Who has all the glory? Who has all the dominion? Who is everlasting? Who is the one who strengthens us? Who is the one who has saved you? It's not yourself, it's God. He must be glorified and not you. God is worthy of recognition for any of the serving opportunities that we carry out. And what does that look like practically in our lives? Well, we should thank him for the work that he's going to accomplish. And we should thank him for even allowing us. We're completely undeserving to even play a part in his mission, in his work. So we should be thankful for that. Before we serve others or after we serve others, give recognition to God. You can literally pray the end of that verse. It says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And if you're in a serving role and someone congratulates you, say something like, "Hey, like, thank you. Like, all praise, all glory be to God." Or you can say something like, "Hey, like, thank you. I'm thankful just that God has, used me in this way. Praise be to him. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." And I want to wrap up with us knowing that in our last kind of like fill in the blank right there is Jesus is the perfect example. Jesus is the perfect example of serving others. Jesus set himself in a lowly position to serve others. The tasks, the services he did for others, by the world's standards, it resembled that of a servant, not as an exalted king. He would spend time with sinners. He would spend time with the most social outcasts at the time. He would care for them. He would heal the blind. He would heal the sick. And he would wash his disciples' feet. Like, think about how gross and nasty that was. But ultimately, he paid the price for what justice demands. Mark 10:45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ came not to be served, but to serve. He humbled himself by walking on earth, and he died a horrific death to pay the ransom for those who put their faith and trust in him. He rose from the grave. He died and he rose from the grave. Now, I know that like we can't really like, we can never have that the same authoritative work that he for like we can't follow his example of doing all of that, but he does set a perfect example of how we can serve others. 1 John 3:16 says, By this we know love that he laid his down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Yeah, by this we know love that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So Jesus did not he didn't serve out of an overflow of the excess of what he had, or when it was most convenient for him. No, he did it sacrificially and out of love for sinners. And with him being the perfect example, he should be glorified, and he's worthy of our recognition. And like, we should go at whatever lengths to love others and to serve other people. And if you're a follower of Christ, like, pay attention to the needs of others around you. There are what are their needs, and how can you sacrificially serve them so that you can live out this passage? You know, we're called to love one another just as Christ loved us. You know, a practical way we should do this is through serving others. You know, though we ourselves may be faced with our own hardships, that should not be an excuse not to serve. We're called to serve, and we're called to be good stewards of that. So think through how you can serve others this week so that you can build up the body of Christ in unity and give glory to God. You must be reminded that God, like Jesus, is the greatest gift ever. A practical way we can, you know, with this gift that we've given, is that we can tell others the eternal life that they can have in Christ. Let's pray.